Welcome to the Hawkeye Sidekick Podcast. And you're very welcome back to the Hawkeye Sidekick Hurling Podcast with your host Mark Kennedy, joined again this week by Kieran Collins and Rory Walsh, and we're delighted to have on Niall O'Mara, Tipperary hurler extraordinaire from Kilwan McDonald's with us tonight. Lads, how are things?
Good, Mark.
Good.
Great. I suppose, guys, we'll get right into it. Munster Senior Hurling Championship and Leinster Senior Hurling Championship preview. So, the big preview show. I suppose, guys, maybe Niall, kind of start with yourself. Anyway, I know recently departed from the Tipperary setup last year. I suppose, what's the contrast been like looking on this year with the league and now into the championship fast approaching?
Yeah, big changes, Mark, both for myself and I think for Tip as a team. Seems to be a big transition going on at the moment. And I suppose you would have said they had a kind of half-decent league up until the semi-final, but consistency is obviously very important. So I'm sure there was a bit of searching done from a Tip point of view. And I'm sure that, you know, they'll be prepared for 2 weeks' time. I do think, obviously, not playing the first game is a big advantage for them where they're coming from. So hopefully, as a supporter this year, I'll be going to the matches rather than sitting in the dugout or on the pitch, you know yourself. So I'm actually looking forward to that too. But I suppose with Tip, it's just hard to know where they are at the moment. I don't know, do they know their best 15? I'd be hoping, you know, they're away for a few days training and stuff. I'd be hoping after the weekend they'd have a fair idea where they're at. And then obviously Limerick in the Gaelic grounds will be a massive test for them.
Yeah, I suppose let's get right into it. Munster Senior Hurling Championship. Maybe we kind of keep with the Tipperary team here now. What's the general mood in Tipperary ahead of the championship? It was a decent enough league. I mean, the semi-final in Portlaoise probably was a bit of a disappointment, but I suppose general mood in Tipperary heading into the championship?
Yeah, sure. Look, I suppose if you look at the league game against Clare, it was a freak. I think they missed, you know, they had five free takers in the game. They're probably, Jason, in fairness to him, will not miss those threes again. So everyone's viewing off there. I think himself and Garrod had it on the one day, which doesn't help. But like, even though how poorly Tip would have played, if the freeze went over, it would have been very close to Clare. So I think that's something they'll take positives from. I do think they'll have to get more ball inside to the likes of Jake if they are going to progress in the championship. I do like the look to be playing more of a running game at the moment. But I do think Tip have always been blessed with inside forwards. So, Mark, to be honest with you, I think that should be their strategy going into the championship. You know, I do think fastball in likes of Ronan and the lads are good at delivering. So, look, Tip have a lot of questions to answer, I suppose, from obviously the Tip public and also from the outside looking in, because I suppose there are a lot of young lads that have won All-Irelands and are probably looking to step up to the market once for championship level.
And I suppose, Niall, as well, the likes of the Cathal Barretts didn't really feature in the league. How's he looking for the championship? Have you heard anything in terms of his fitness and when he may be returning?
Very little coming out on it, to be honest, Mark. I'd be hoping, obviously, Cathal, sure, you know, is one of the best inside backs in the country. So from a Tip perspective, you'd be hoping he'll be fit to play. I suppose, as I said to you a few minutes ago, the extra break missing the first round could help him, you know, be back for second game against Limerick, because, you know, if you look at the top teams there, Limerick of Galan, Clare, you know, Mark Rogers, lads like this inside, they need to be marked. And, you know, Tip, I suppose, we're looking to concede a bit less than they have been conceding. So Cathal Barretts will be a big asset in ensuring that.
Guys, we'll get you in there, Kieran. I suppose your thoughts in terms of Tipperary heading into this championship?
I probably earlier on I would have said Tip were a little bit of a surprise package for me this year. I suppose it's that they've merged the young and the old pretty well, and I think the young have come in, you know, the likes of Craig Morgan, you know, O'Connelly midfield had a really good league, I would have thought. Ball back to wing back probably rejuvenated him a little bit, you know, on last year's form. And I think for me the thing with Tipperary is it's consistency. You know, Jake Morris, we know how dangerous he is in front of goal, but it's to do it week on week. Maybe that's what has been lacking in maybe last year, but I think I do like to blend the young and old. Like, you know, you're putting in like the likes of the McGraths and you know, Ronan Maher in there, and, you know, like young guys like Brian O'Mara on mixing up. And I think it's a good way of, and it is a transition, but I suppose it's the best way to transition is get the experience into the young guys and have the old heads around them. And like for me, they have been a surprise team for me this year. I didn't think they'd be as good as they were, but the one question I would have is there a panel there? You know, that the round robin is a tough series, and it's a, you know, a hard couple of weeks on the road. And, you know, do the likes of the older guys, have they got the legs for the, you know, for the 5 or 6 weeks? And I think maybe last year we saw it, like Tipperary had a very good, you know, league campaign, and then probably coming into the championship, like they petered out as week on week went on, and suppose that last game against Waterford really showed like that they really weren't at it at that on that day. But you know, I think it's just a, I think consistency with what I would be looking for from Tipperary this year, especially in round robin.
Rory, get you in there as well. Your thoughts in terms of Tipperary?
Yeah, I'd say leaving Portlaoise after the Clare semi-final, there's probably more questions for Liam Cahill, you know, and Michael Beavens than answers, because certain lads that have been going well in certain positions looked a bit off it on the day. And I agree with Niall, the free taking was an issue, but the way they started the game as well, remember Clare went up maybe, was it 9 points, 10 points to 2? And you can't give a team a start like that in a game, like you're chasing and trying to reel them in the whole game. And I suppose last year as well, sometimes it seems to be like, you know, one step forward, two steps forward, one step back again, because the way they started the championship last year, huge win up in Ennis. Like, that was the only game Clare lost in the round robin, was that home game up in Ennis. The, let's say the drawdown in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, probably could have won that game, looking back in hindsight. Like, there was times in the game where Tip looked like it was there for the winning. But still, they'd have been very happy after two rounds, you know. The Limerick match, another big performance. And then it just seemed to just kind of, wheels came off all of a sudden against Waterford. And what might have looked like a blip, you know, the Galway game kind of followed soon after. So, like, I suppose the questions are there, and it is consistency. But for progress this year, like, they kind of need to bring it all the way through the championship. And if they do get to the knockout stages again, that they, you know, deliver in the All-Ireland series as well. Like, I think even for Tip fans, I don't know if they can actually put hand on heart, be confident that they'll be top three. I don't think any county can. But I suppose Clare, Limerick probably have some bit of, like, former history, like in terms of like in the round robin, they've been pretty consistent up until now. But at the same time, like Tipperary last year, you're looking at B Clare, Drew at Limerick, Drew down in Cork. Like the talent is there, but it's just, you know, getting the whole thing. And that could be his panel as well, as Kieran said. Like, maybe the reason that they aren't bringing it through is, you know, that when it comes to the game three, game four, and so on, and lads are picking up knocks and stuff, that, you know, maybe the depth might be there, or just maybe like lads hadn't experienced either, and that'll come as the year goes on. But yeah, so it's hard to know where to start. Give a short answer.
Niall, even bringing you in here, just in terms of potential players, who for you needs to stand out for Tipperary this year to really make a big impression in the championship?
I suppose a lot of lads are coming into their second championship year, Mark. So, you know, I suppose you mentioned Brian O'Mara and a few lads like that, but I think their biggest issue might be up in the forward line. I think they'll need Rod O'Connor, Alan Tynan, and Connor Stakelham to really, you know, bring that work rate in the half forward line, to mix in with like the Jake and Jason. So, like, just to mention the point there, I suppose too, that the long puck out for us might be just something I suppose Tip have been working on the last few weeks, because I think they will like look to target a long ball against certain teams. So it's going to be interesting to see what way the forwards are picked. I couldn't tell you, like, as you said, before the league semi-final, you would have been confident up of Tip 13 of Tipperary's team, whereas after it, you're kind of looking like, who are we going to play six, or who's going to play midfield and things like that. So, as Rory was saying, we have a lot of questions, I suppose, that need answering. I'm sure, you know, the management would have sat down, and with a few lads hopefully coming back into it, like Noel McGrath had played no league time really, so Cottle Barrett and lads like that, and they're kind of leaders. I think them lads, you know, play well on championship day, people have a chance of winning. So I'd imagine there'd be a big part to it. As you said, the blend of the youth with it. Looking at it, Craig Morgan is actually my first cousin, so after his crucial injury, it's like, it's nice to see him back going very well and things like that, because as I said, Munster Championship's a minefield. Pat Ryan said today that any team would take third, and I'd have to agree with him. If you were a Tip fan, you'd take third and try and, you know, go at it from there.
There's probably no pressure on Tipperary in regards of, you know, they've had 3 week break now between, they'll have a 4 week break from that league semi final to their first game out. I suppose if you were to put a gun to people's heads and pick three from Munster, now it's probably easier to pick a lot of numbers at the minute, but I think most people would have Limerick, Clare, and Cork. And that's not without any disrespect to Tipperary or Waterford, but in that regard, maybe there's less pressure on, like, there's no, like, not as much expectation on Tipperary based on maybe what happened last year, and they can use the month wisely and use that to their advantage, you know, because I think it's probably similar for Waterford. You know, everyone is downplaying Waterford. Look, I'm not the biggest fan of management down there and certain things go on, but they still have a lot of stuff they can use to their advantage. You know, everyone is writing them off and there's no expectation on them, and that's when a team can strike and be dangerous.
Yeah, definitely, Kieran. And John, Rory, just on your point, I thought Tip, like down in this last year, just a couple of early goals, the sideline going to the back of the net and stuff. They were probably, that was probably a big moment for us in those games, because we had so many new lads, and it was like, you know, as you said, it was a good start, but as we faded a bit after that. So I do think you're probably right. There's not as much pressure on Tip, but being the county that we are, and you know, perception from the public, they'll feel that, you know, we be, if we're not getting out Munster, we're really, really struggling. And like, that's no disrespect to Waterford or Cork, even Tip would still see themselves probably ahead of them, even though if you're looking at the form at the moment, we might not be. So it's actually, I do think from the outside it might not be pressure, but definitely internally and in the county, people would feel this team need to perform. Like, so it's quite interesting to see your perspective on it. But then if you're walking down the street and meet someone, there is that sense of, you know, we can do this. We, you know, that's kind of the way we've always been. Maybe it's just, I suppose, like every county, you kind of have that bit of belief. And I do think that if they get the balance and the blend right, you know, have two tough games to start away for both games, if they can get a result in one of them, it might set us up nicely for the last two.
It must have been heartening to see all the Tip lads playing major roles there for the colleges, Mary Eye and UL. You know, there's always a good correlation between, you know, higher end Fitzgibbon and county, inter-county. So, like, you know, the likes of Joe Caesar, Mary Eye, and Devin Ryan, these lads, like, also, you know, with UL, then you grow to Connor as well. So there must be, I know he's already burst into the Tip scene, like, but just even progressing to another Fitzgibbon final, and they're, like, I'd say out of both teams, Tip probably had the most representation, definitely up there anyway. So, you know, it shows that there is talent coming at the right age as well.
Big time, Rory, and, like, that's the thing, you know, Fitzgibbon Cup is, without, I suppose, looking at it, it's probably just below inter-county senior championship, you know, so to see lads performing at the top level, that is certainly a big thing. And I suppose the other thing about it is, if you look back in the league, Tip in the first half against Limerick down in Cork, you know, I had a really good thing going there, and then they faded a bit, and then obviously in the semi-final against Clare, it didn't go so well. But I think a lot of the players have played a lot of matches. You look at Grodd O'Connor, for example, have played a lot of games around that time, so you'd be hoping, like, every team had one bad league game, so I'd be hoping Tips just came in the semi-final, and that, you know, as you said, that a bit of a longer break, maybe a bit of freshness back in there, and get different lads integrated back into the team. But definitely from a young, from a younger lad's perspective, to see the Fitzgibbon, you know, they haven't picked up medals, even from Mary Eye being such a small college, you know, to be well represented. You know, I think there's four or five Tip lads on the team. So yeah, it's definitely important, because Limerick, a lot of Limerick success, they won the 21 All-Ireland, obviously the minor, then a lot of them won Fitzgibbons in 2016, 17 and 18. So it definitely is a good structure for success at senior and county level.
Thanks, Niall. I suppose, guys, Rory, even get your thoughts in terms of Munster Senior Hurling Championship. You know, you're a proud Clare man. I suppose heading out of Six Mile Bridge tonight after that minor win against Limerick, I suppose confidence is fairly high in Clare heading into Sunday against Limerick.
Yeah, well, I suppose they've beaten Limerick now in the under 20s and minors, but the big one is Sunday, like, and yeah, it's going to set the tone for the championship. It's a huge game because from a Clare point of view, Clare lose, they're going down to Parky Queeve then for game two, and you could find yourselves, you know, suddenly you're in huge jeopardy of being out, like, and I know everyone is kind of, like, I suppose the last game is a league final, and they are being talked up in the media, but I'm sure the players realise how important this game is, because, within 7 days, they could be looking at being exiting the championship. So that's how big this game is. And it's very hard to know. The last time we saw Limerick, they were well below par. That could be a good thing as well, because a bit like Tipperary, the break they've had to kind of organise things, they're away in Portugal in training camps. But also as well, remember we had Sean Finn first came back. He looked fierce rusty, but that was 3 weeks ago. You know, Declan Hannan as well at centre-back struggled a bit in that game, but you'd expect these lads, like, have always performed for Limerick in championship. So you just really don't know what you're going to get from Limerick. Well, you kind of do in one way, but where are they really? Like, if they're not at pitch perfect and Clare hit the ground running, you give Clare a great chance. But yeah, generally, Kinnark and Kiley have Limerick at pitch perfect. Although last year, as we know, they were a bit slow to start the Munster campaign. I just feel that if that happens again this year, like, it'll be tough for Limerick, maybe up in Ennis. But yeah, look, this game is just impossible, really, to call. Right about a lot of numbers earlier, Kieran, but even just predicting this game, with Clare at home, you have to win your home games, and regardless of whether it's Limerick or whoever it is, like, Clare last year did the hard thing by losing their first game at home and then going on qualifying after that. But it helped them, I think, actually having Waterford and Thurles as well, so they had only one real away match as such. You'd be confident in a way that they're performing consistently to a level. I think their last kind of non-performance really was the Kilkenny All-Ireland semi-final a couple of years ago. Because as Niall said, even last year, after being 10 points down after a number of minutes, like they did battle back and came back into it and scored, like put up a huge tally as well that day. As we said, Clare are performing at a consistent level and they're going to need it, like, because yeah, Limerick are going for five in a row for a reason. It's still a huge game that if you win, it sets you up nicely, you know.
Yeah, Kieran, get you in there. How's this Kilkenny National Hurling League lost focus minds in Limerick?
Yeah, I think last year, I suppose the view was that, I suppose, Limerick went through the league and they were sluggish through the round robin, especially the earlier games. And, you know, I suppose, is it a different approach this year? I suppose time will tell. I suppose there is a few concerns injury-wise on top of, you know, I suppose Peter Casey won't play. Dar Donovan is obviously out as well, confirmed out. I think there's also word Adam English has picked up a knock. So, you know, I suppose it's not all plain sailing there. But I'd be very surprised if, I suppose, Kyle Aitken or haven't Limerick pitch ready. You could make a case for, look, Sean Finn, he just back from injury, and Declan Hannan the same way after long layoffs, I suppose. So, you know, there, I suppose, 3 weeks, if they had two or three more training sessions and maybe a practice game in as well, that the touch and everything would be going a lot better. I think looking at Clare, you could say the same. And, you know, like Tony Kelly not featuring, like, it's very hard to come back in, you know, first round championship against the All-Ireland champions. Like, and if he does play, like, to get up to that pace and level so quick. I don't know, am I reading it wrong by the fact that he wasn't on the panel for the league final? Like, if he was anyway close, would they have named him? Like, I think even the sight of Tony Kelly warming up on the sideline, if there was only a point or two, you know, in it, for the Clare fans, it'd be a huge boost just to see him out in the field. So, you know, will he be there? I suppose that's a big question. You know, Ryan Taylor obviously going to miss a few earlier rounds. Trying to integrate these players back in who've been out for long layoffs, like, it's you know, I suppose league, that's what the league is used for, you know, getting youth in and, I suppose, getting game time into guys. But to come in at that pace and intensity, I suppose, it's not easy. And look, Clare have been the farm team, 1,000,000%. Like, they were the farm team of the league, deserved winners. You know, we've seen a lot of younger guys as well we haven't seen in the last few years. I think Conor Lean was probably one of them players who stood out. You know, Darragh Lowen, like, these are guys who are putting their hand up for selection. But it's all been a good doing the league. You know, the intensity goes up a couple of notches. You know, it's not as easy. And I suppose time will tell, can them guys mix it at that level? And probably question marks for both teams. And it does make it harder to call. Like, for the last couple of years, there's been a puck of the ball between the two teams. And I expect no difference. I do expect Limerick to be ready to go. And you could say the same for Clare. How it goes, no one knows. But it's just so hard to call.
Yeah, and I'll get you in there. I suppose from a Tipperary perspective, scouting report wise, what are you looking forward to this game in Cusick Park on Sunday?
Look, I suppose Ennis is definitely a cauldron number one that they'll be looking to use at their advantage. You know, I think from the league we learned that maybe Clare have grown their panel a bit. Definitely, there's a couple of lads that come in and had consistent form, you know, like Darragh Lowen, a few good games midfield, and Conor Lean, definitely cornerback, had a very good game on Jason up in Port Leash, so that would give them a lot of confidence. I'll be honest with you, I suppose, from the outside looking in, I think the win of this game could be on the sideline. I think Brian Lohan, in the last couple of years in big games, just from an outsider looking in, is making slightly questionable calls, you could say, as in you'd be, what I'm seeing or what other people are seeing, he doesn't seem to be going with the general gist. I do think to win on All-Ireland, if you're clear, you do need players on the field at top level, but you want the lads on the sideline really astute. So, like, that's obviously my biggest thing for Clare. I do think to have the players come back in, you mentioned the names, Dave McInerney as well coming back in. They do have a bigger panel, but it's just getting it right on the line on the day. Like, I think there won't be a puck of the ball in between the two teams on Sunday, but I do think what Kiley and Canerk bring on the line, I think Lohan and James Moran have to match that in terms of tactical awareness and bringing on the subs at the right time, because I think that's cost Clare in the three or four big games they've played over the last 2 years versus Limerick in the Munster finals and versus Kenny in the semi-finals. So from the outside looking in, I do think they really need to get that right.
Yeah, great points there, Niall. I mean, Rory, do you want to get in there?
I think there's a bit of a balancing act as well for Lohan, because Davy Mack coming back, Shane O'Donnell is obviously going to start. If Tony Kelly is fully fit, he will be starting. Now, from what I heard he was fully training before the league final. So, like, I presume, I don't know, is it the nature of the operation he had that they just wanted to be 100% sure? Look, but you hear all these kind of things anyway. So I'd be very surprised if he's not in the matchday squad. But also, like, you're going to be dropping a player who's maybe, as Niall said, has have had a few good consistent performances in the league based on a guy on, you know, on experience and reputation in a way, and kind of versus form. So like that can be a balancing act too, like, because, you know, some lads would say, like, I've done enough to keep my jersey, and then suddenly, you know, been handed over to Davy Mack or whatnot. And it is a balancing act, and it can go wrong too. So putting in a player who maybe might not be ready for it in terms of, you know, needing a bit more time or another week. So, but look, yeah, like the likes of Sean Rain as well, who was started for the Clare 20s there against Limerick and had a good few performances in the league. Keith Smith has shown up as well. I think they've definitely boosted the panel. But yeah, no, I'd agree with Niall. Like, there was the call last year, like with who picked up Aaron Galan was a major one when Conor Cleary was out. And yeah, there has been a few big calls, and like they have to get things right. Like even the call, I know it's in hindsight as well, but with Quilligan, I didn't think Quilligan had done anything wrong to be, you know, to lose his place in goals. In fact, I think he'd been nominated for an All-Star the previous year. And I know sometimes he can have the odd lapse of concentration inside, which maybe has led in the odd questionable goal, but his puckouts are superb. Like he's pinpoint, and you know, in the modern game, like as we saw last year when Limerick and Clare met, it was exhibition from Nicky and from Aver, and both goals, like puckouts were outstanding. And yeah, just that was another call. But look, going forward Sunday, I hope that they've learned from their mistakes. It's one thing John Kiley was saying, that like they don't want to make the big mistake twice. And Clare maybe have been guilty of doing it two or three times, but can't be a fourth one this year. Everything will have to go right. And even in terms of injuries as well, like certain key players, like last year when Conor Cleary got injured, Clare were in trouble in the full back line. I think we've a bit more depth there now with Conor Lean. The previous year when John Connolly got injured in the half back line, you know, the wheels come off the wagon. So you're just hoping that Clare now have that kind of eventuality covered, like as Limerick have had in the past, like before, like we had Declan Hannigan off very early in big games, and just kind of a seamless transition there with maybe Kyle Hayes, like even going from wing forward one day back into centre back, and just everything just seemed to continue on as normal. So it's something I think that Clare will have to show that they can do this year, because they haven't in previous years, and it's cost them.
I think that's one point, Rory. Like, Lowell has to pick on form, because, you know, you lose competition for places if you're not picking on form. Like, obviously, if you're fighting for a jersey and a, you know, player comes back in from a long-term injury and is picked on name, as opposed to, you know, what say, like, so Darragh Lowen has done or Conor Lean has done over a few weeks, probably will be disheartening a sign for the other players who are in fighting for a jersey, younger guys. So I think they just have to pick on form and trust these guys and see how it works out.
Yeah, absolutely. No, great points, guys. I suppose we'll quickly get on to Waterford Cork as well. Niall, from your perspective, Walsh Park on Sunday, I mean, Waterford's league form has been disappointing. They got relegated to 1B. Does Davy Fitz have a trick up his sleeve here, Niall, that we're not aware of heading into this championship?
Massively. I do think, you know, going down to Walsh Park is a very tough place to go. Like, it's definitely a field. Like, take away Turles out, because Turles is a pure hurler seal, but Walsh Park suits a team with a strategy, I do think, like, you know, that's set up quite well. So Davy, it's very hard to know what's going on in Waterford, lads, being honest. You know, with Cork, you hear a bit more out of Cork. I don't think either team, I think they're going in under the radar, to be honest with you. Obviously Waterford would have been disappointed to be relegated, and obviously Cork would have felt they had a couple of good performances. Now, albeit, I don't know what you can judge from the Wexford game when they put up that massive score, but like, Munster Championship down in Walsh Park will be a tough game for them, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, is Mark Coleman fully fit and lads like that, because they'll need them firing on all cylinders probably to, like, Cork will definitely be targeting this game, and so will Waterford. So I'd say it'll be quite cagey, but whichever team, I suppose, is more clinical, you could say about both teams, you know, Waterford are inclined to miss a few frees as well, so I suppose both teams will have to be really clinical to get over the line. So it's going to be interesting. Davies, obviously, playing the usual shoulders up, back out, people are on top of me, you know, so like I'm sure everyone's used to it at this stage. But one thing I will say, last year they came up to Turles with a game plan and executed to perfection. Now, albeit tip or poor, but their game plan really works, so I'll be interested to see what he's planning for Cork, because call a spade with Cork, if you can stop their forwards, you can stop good supply into the forwards, you have a good chance of beating them.
Yeah, Kieran, get you in there. I know you're a little bit critical of the management in previous episodes, but I suppose you would have probably been down the South East, probably hearing reports in Waterford. Big guns are probably back, are they, for Sunday?
I think the one word is that Callum Lyons is a doubt, which would be a huge loss if that's the case. I think, like, this is wide open for me. Like, Waterford are 9-4 at home. to beat Cork, and I think that's a huge price. Okay, look, it's going on previous year's forms, I suppose, and their form in round robin in total, what is it, 2 wins and 15, I think, over a few years, or 16. I saw Waterford only 2 weeks ago. Desi isn't playing inside with Mikey Kiley, which was what people were shouting for the last, you know, I suppose definitely last year. Stephen Bennett was back and was in red-hot form. I just think I don't see Waterford being good enough to maybe be one of the three, but they're going to catch a team or two along the way. They're not going to go beaten all through. I think with this game, they can target, they can really go at it because they have a break week after the Cork game. So I think it's a game they can really, you know, throw the bodies in the line and they'll have time to recover. They're a big side, they're a physical side. And I suppose looking at Cork don't like that. You know, Cork like to run. And I'm not convinced by Cork either. I think that Wexford game probably put a bit of a glass in Cork's league and made them, I don't think Wexford were on top form, and it probably made Cork look better than they were. You look back at the earlier games like Waterford, okay, they built a good league, Cork did, but Jamie Barron comes on and, you know, Peter Hogan comes on and the game changes. And if there's another 5 minutes in that game, Waterford going to win. You could see the same in the Kilkenny game. Kilkenny built a big lead first half. Okay, Cork did come back into it, but it's the not putting a 70-minute performance together, and it's something Cork, we probably criticised him in last year as well, is not putting 70 minutes together overall. Look, there's probably a huge selection headache, you know, I suppose, of all the teams to take to the field this weekend. Pat Ryan probably has the biggest job to pick his starting 15. Like, he's such an array of players. Cork were not far away last year. Have they changed much? That's the question. In the year, have they, you know, how are they going to change things up? But for me, as this game, like, first off, like at 9-4 for Waterford, I think it's worth a punt at that, because, you know, home game, okay, Walsh Park, their record since it's reopened isn't good. I think they've been beaten in 4 games there, or 3 or 4 games there, so they need to turn into fortress. I suppose the worrying signs are, you know, ticket sales aren't going great down there. You know, the Waterford public don't seem to be backing the team, but, you know, I think if Waterford can pull off a shock here, you know, with a week's break, you know, who knows what could happen. But yeah, I suppose it's another game that's going to be really hard to call. But I probably would think Cork would win it, but I would not be surprised if Waterford got it.
Rory, get you in there. What are your thoughts in terms of Waterford and Cork heading into this game on Sunday?
Yeah, I'd go along with Kieran in that Waterford, if they're going to put in a big performance, and they did last year in their first round, let's remember, they were within a whisker of beating Limerick. It's going to be the first round at home. But like we all know, Cork, they're forward line, they can put up a huge score, but also, as Niall pointed out, stop the supply in and you can get at their back line. And there's been question marks over some of the Cork backs there for the last few years. The same guys are still there. Kieran pointed out, like with Kylie inside and Desi, like there's scores in there. Caelan Mines will be a huge loss if he doesn't feature, like, but still, I think Waterford's best chance, if we were to say Waterford were going to win one game in this, I think their best chance is the one coming up on Sunday, because Cork can be vulnerable. Waterford, as we said, they're going to be like, there's huge, whatever, actually, when we were talking about pressure, I think the most pressure is on Waterford here to perform, especially their management. Their record has been appalling. In fact, the only team, actually, and I hate to say this now, the only team Waterford have beaten in the round robin is Tipperary on two occasions. So every time they've played Clare, Limerick, Cork, they've lost. So like, that's a huge question for the team. And like, let's not forget, like, this Waterford are not minnows in this. Like, they were National League champions just a few years ago. Derek McGrath said, whoever beats them will lift the Liam McCarthy 1 year. Turned out everyone beat them that year. But you know, like, the players are there. The talent is there. We've seen with Ballygunner as well. These are good hurlers. Like, they don't just become bad hurlers when they put on the Waterford jersey. Yeah, they're dangerous. And I think, it's a great price for anyone who wants to put on the punt. And I'd be nodding their way at the weekend. I think they're going to beat Cork.
Yeah, now I'll get you in there. In terms of Cork particularly, I know Tipperary and Cork, you've had ding-dong battles with them over the years. I suppose, thoughts in terms of the Cork setup at the moment? No, Pat Ryan's in his second year as manager, but what are you looking forward to seeing from Cork?
I mean, same as the boys. I do think, like, obviously, Alan Connolly had up the last bit of the league. Like, Shane Kingston's a player on his day. He's unmarkable. And, like, they're going to need, maybe, I don't know, Robbie O'Flynn's story. I don't know if he's back yet.
He's back, yeah, he's back.
Yeah, so they're kind of, like, those 3 or 4 players, add in Pat Horgan and a few other lads, they're capable of beating 19. But I do agree with the lads. I do think at the back, there's huge question marks. you know, like Waterford, obviously, you mentioned Desi there and Mikey Kiley, then obviously you'd have Jamie Barron, and if you know, if these lads are fit, like, it's Waterford will have a lot to say. And I, like, pride is a big thing. Like, I'm sure a lot of those lads in Waterford don't give a hell who the manager is. They just want to go out and put a performance on for the people of Waterford. You know, it's like John Milan back in the day. You know, it's literally just to have that sense of, you know, we're from Waterford, we're, you know, we're going to go for it. So I'd agree with the lads. I don't know which way it's going to go, but like a 9-4 Waterford do seem a very good price. And I do think Pat Ryan's under big pressure. There's rumours coming out that, say, him and the management team weren't getting on and stuff like this. I don't know how true they are, but if it's true and Davy smells a bit of blood and Waterford get over the line, it just wouldn't surprise you. But I do think that both teams, if whoever loses, in massive trouble, as in, I think this is the one that could dictate third, really, for either team.
Lads, can we make a few calls on these games on Sunday then? Niall, maybe we start with yourself, Clare versus Limerick.
I'm going to go at Limerick. I think that for the simple reason that the big players come back in again. I last year they kind of limped down Munster. I don't think they're going to want to do that. I think they're just going to want to get it done and dusted early. I did, as the boys mentioned early, Clare having maybe missing Ryan Taylor and Tony Kelly on Championship Day are going to be a huge loss for them. So I'm going to go at Limerick by 3-4 points.
Okay, and Waterford Cork?
As I said, I'm going to go, just having listened to you and even think about myself, I'm going to go with Waterford for the fact I'm not convinced of Cork, and I think pride is a massive place and home advantage in Walsh Park. So I'm going to go with Waterford in that game. Very tight, but just get over the line.
Rory, your predictions from Munster this weekend?
Yeah, I've already picked Waterford, so I'm going to stick with that one. And up in Ennis, like, Clare have shoved it up to Limerick in the last few years when I don't think Clare, looking in, were as good panel-wise as they are now. And I think Tony Kelly, from what I hear, is will be okay, like, will be featured. And I know he's coming in cold, but this is still Tony Kelly and Ennis. Limerick, I think Darragh Donovan might be a bit of a loss for Limerick. Like, they're plugging gaps. You're putting David Reedy kind of in there. You're missing Peter Casey in the full forward line then. Colin Neal has been playing wing back. Is he going to be pushed back up to the forwards? There's a bit of to and fro going on. I just think if they're going to get caught, this might be the game to do it. Clare has to be coming in full of confidence. They know that they can go toe-to-toe with Limerick. Home advantage. You know, they have a title now behind them. I know it's the league and so on, and they give anything for even a Munster, let alone All-Ireland, but there is a bit of pressure off management, especially having that. I just feel they're in a good place. And this sounds mad. I'm going to go Clare 4 points on the basis that there's nothing in it all game. And in injury time then, they rattle over 2 or 3 to bring it out to 4. What are those type of endings to the match?
Kieran, get you in there. Your predictions. You were kind of leaning towards Waterford anyway in Walsh Park, but I suppose Limerick, Clare.
Yeah, I think with Waterford, they're, look, I suppose, like I said, they're playing for pride. And the only thing I would say for Cork is, like, they're a month break since the league, and there's not a word about them. There hasn't been one word about Cork, and that can be a good thing in a lot of ways. But I just think Waterford, like, if they do play Kiley and Desi inside, they're going to be some duo to handle. You know, I think if Catalan plays full back, like, I think he'd have his hand full. I'm going to give it to Waterford as well. I think there's going to be very little between the two teams. I'm still not sold on Cork. Alan Connolly and Robbie O'Flynn are probably their, you know, their real star forwards, but they're very injury prone as well. So, you know, in the last couple of years they've struggled, and while they have replacements and plenty of them, I just still struggle with the fact that, you know, they're playing with a fair bulk of that team, you know, that has played for the last couple of years, and they haven't won anything with the likes of Lehan. And look, okay, Hoggy is a class above anyone else, but Harnedy, Lehan, Cahalan, so on. So I'm just going to give it to Waterford. Limerick Clare, yeah, look, I think I don't think it's going to be any different to the Limerick Clare games in the past couple of years. I think a point or two either way. I would say, like, Limerick win the All-Ireland last year without Sean Finn, without Declan Hannah for parts of it. Keane Lynch is probably getting back to fitness. I think them three players, if they're in and fit, that's a huge plus to any team. I'd be expecting huge increases in performance from what we've seen in the league, especially from Galan, Flanagan. I expect Ollie to play and form. Like, he'd be probably Limerick's form forward in the league. Look at their, probably the, I think, not even a point, they're going to try and get it. They struggled last year, and it was at times, there was a real live chance of not making another Munster. So I think they don't want to risk that. I think they will be ready. Like, I think this is, I can't see them not being ready. And Limerick by one. There's going to be nothing between them.
No, I'd agree with you there, Kieran. Guys, move on to Leinster, I suppose. Leinster and Niall, terms of the six teams here heading into this championship. I mean, we've talked about the five teams in Munster capable of beating each other on the day. I mean, from a Leinster Senior Hurling Championship perspective, maybe Wexford Dublin is really standing out this Sunday.
Yeah, look, Micheál Donoghue has got great experience as manager, and I know, as you mentioned there, Mark, he'll be targeting this one. Wexford, looking in from the outside, has got great service out of there. You know, the lads that are there for Donkeys, Matthew O'Hanlon's, and these guys. And I do think they might be coming near the end. And I do think if Dublin, you know, they've got Franny Ford, Noel Larkin, very good hurling guys, and they would have obviously looked at Wexford and said, if you can stop MacDonald, Rory O'Connor, Lee Chin, it's easier said than done. But with Chris Crummy joining the panel and lads like that, you know, Danny Sutcliffe on his day, Donald Burke, I think, is fit, flying by what I hear. So you'd have to give Dublin a big chance in this one, as in both teams will know, without being smart, Kilkenny and Galway are 1 and 2, and both of these teams are vying out for 3 and 4, because Antrim, Carlow, like, you know, I don't think they'll cause any upsets, really. So this is definitely probably, you know, Wexford have probably a better result against the like, or better record against the likes of Galway and Kilkenny in championships, have eked out a few draws and stuff. So they might feel if they win the weekend, they might have a chance. But I think this one's massive for Dublin. And like Micheál Donoghue is not travelling up and down from Galway for the love of it. I think, you know, as in, you know, I do think he feels that he has a chance to get out of there and maybe being competitive in an All-Ireland quarterfinal.
Kieran, get you in there. I know you've been following Wexford intently this year. Been based out on Wexford, I suppose. Thoughts on Wexford heading into the championship? What's the mood like?
So this is a cup final, really, for both teams. I think like the perception is whoever wins this takes third, you know, at the very least. I think it's been a very good start to keep Rossiter's term. Like, this was winning the Welsh Cup early doors. And then I would say, you know, a good run in the league, and I think one to be content with, you know, to secure Division 1A for next year was probably the target, and it was secured with a game to go. I suppose that the last game against Cork, I suppose, took a bit of stuffing out of it all. Like, the Cork just beat them all over. But look, I like the way they've operated. They've given a lot of game time to younger guys. Look, they've been forced to with certain injuries during the league. They're going to be without Liam Ryan Sunday, who's going to be a huge loss. But with young players coming in, like Conor Foley, I think, has been really impressive in the league. Keane Byrne, who stepped up from the 20s last year, who's on the roster in the 20s, you know, I suppose made impressions in certain games. I think he's going to be a player for the future. You know, Corey Byrne Dunbar, young guys. Look, I think the one thing that Wexford probably lacking is size. You know, when you compare it to the inter-county teams, especially the likes of, you know, Kilkenny's and Waterford's and Galway's and Limerick's and stuff, I do think that they will be really fired up. I think last year, there was a lot of hurt in Wexford over last year, and I suppose like they were, you know, very, very close to being demoted down to Joe McDonagh. And I think it's been a great turnaround in the year to go from that to securing 1A. And I think if they can get third in Leinster, that'll be, you know, that'll be an unbelievable year for them. I agree, there's a lot of guys getting to the end of their, you know, term. But like the Leslie Chin, like, he's, you know, he's a machine, he's just an athlete. And Roy O'Connor obviously missing a lot of earlier games and coming back in. And look, Dublin, I suppose, really, I suppose I would say a poor league. But look, there were injury plague all the way through. And, you know, you're missing the likes of Donald Burke, you know, Owen O'Sullivan for big parts of it. You know, they're getting them all back in the field now. Keane O'Sullivan has been huge for him in the league, and I expect him to continue on in that role for forward. I think you look back to this fixture last year, Dublin won, but I think Wexford would feel they should have won. You know, they created, you know, 41 or 43 scoring chances, just, you know, didn't take chances. And I think this Wexford team will be well drilled and ready to go. And for me, I think it'll be a Wexford win this weekend. And, you know, to carry it on, it'll be a hard 6-day turnaround to Antrim. But, you know, if you can win your first two games, you'd be fairly content. You'd be secure in third place at least.
Yeah, Rory, get you in there in terms of Dublin-Wexford. Such a key game for them starting out the championship. What are your thoughts, and who may win on Sunday in Chadwicks Park?
Look, it might be unfair to say this, but kind of the Leinster Championship seems to be boiling down to two games. Antrim and Carlow to see who'll stay up, and Wexford and Dublin to see who's going to qualify. It probably won't turn out that way, but that's what it looks like before it starts. I can't get past, last time I saw Dublin in the flesh was the All-Ireland quarterfinal against Clare in the Gaelic grounds, and I can't get past how badly set up they were that day. Like, remember, every time the ball went over the half back line, there was no cover, no wing back covering across. Went down the wing, no centre back covering the grass, and they were just wide open. I'm sure, look, it's something that they've had to have patched up, but it was just, I couldn't believe from management, you know, that one in Ireland, like Mike Donoghue, maybe it was players didn't take on board instruction beforehand, but Clare scored 4 goals in the first half. It could have been like 7-8 goals. Like, there was just racing through them. And that's my worry. Like, can they, I know they were down players and so on, and they're better than that, but I just think from all we can judge on is the league, and Wexford showed a lot more in the league, seemed to have found young talent. I think the injuries in a way worked for them, because these guys got 3 or 4 games under their belt, and if they had a bad game, they still had, you know, had a jersey the next day, and that there was, whereas in previous years, if you had a full complement of forwards and a guy hit a bad game, you know, you mightn't see another game during the league. And I think that led to a bit of consistency from some of the lads, like Keane Byrne was very impressive there, getting the Watford match in particular. And just that day, like, the Wexford forwards looked fierce, lively. I know you're throwing back in a bit of experience in there with them. So, I think Wexford at home, it's a huge game for them. They know that. It's a game that will set them up for it. And I just think that they're going to pull through there. It'd be a shock for me if Dublin beat them.
Yeah, no, it'll get you in there. Your prediction in terms of Wexford-Dublin. You're giving Dublin a good chance here from your initial comments anyway.
I am, and Joanne, just the boys mentioned just a good point there. Keith Raster is obviously the first Wexford manager in the last 3, isn't he? I do think, you know, for a team that's in transition like Wexford, and, you know, you mentioned it there, Kieran and Rory, that having someone on ground level that knows the teams, know the players, could be worth gold. And I suppose this is where Dublin are getting cut out. You made a good point about the Clare game last year. You know, does Mihal, I don't know, who know enough about them. This is his second year, you know, so... It's very hard to call. I'm going to stay going with Dublin, just for the sheer point. I worked with Noel Dark and Mihal Donoghue, and I think they're very astute guys. I do think Chris Crummy is going to be a massive addition defensively, defensive linchpin for them. And if Donald Burke obviously has a good day in the freeze, which he'll need to down there in Innovate Wexford Park, because it's quite a breezy place, I do think it will come down to something like that. You know, free taking, as we mentioned already in the first game, Wexford need to nail those as well, whoever they actually go with on the freeze. It's been an Achilles heel for them in big games, so it's going to be very tight, but I'm just going to go with Dublin by 1 or 2.
I suppose, guys, Galway, Kilkenny, they start their championship campaigns with home fixtures. Galway entertain Carlow, while Kilkenny face Antrim. I suppose, guys, maybe Kieran, starting with you in terms of Galway, is there anything new? Well, I mean, it's third year for Henry Shefflin. It's put up or shut up time, really, for Galway this year.
I think pressure's on Shefflin this year. I think it's Leinster title at least. You know, they've been knocking on the door. I just saw a tweet there during the week, and their record since they've joined Leinster, doesn't make for good viewing if you're a Galway fan. I do think they're probably, you know, Leinster is at least their target this year, and a guaranteed All-Ireland semi-final. Do I think there's any different happening there? I'm just not convinced in Galway. I'm not, what's different to last year? What I've seen of them, they've been very same. I know Eamon O'Shea, obviously, and neither you know a lot about him and what an addition he would be for them, especially in power play. But I just, you know, to me, it's still the same old, like, Conor Whelan is required to make the Galway forward line tick. I have huge question marks in Evan Ireland. You know, he's very, very good free taker, but in open play, I just don't think he's doing enough. Conor Cooney, you know, one of the, probably the best strikers of the ball, but hot and cold. And I think it's still the same question marks for me for Galway. On paper, they have an unbelievable team, and they're capable of winning Leinster and probably more. I think they just failed to flatter. They failed, you know, the last couple of years. They haven't impressed, and a bit like Cork, really, I suppose, it's putting together a 7-0 performance consecutively seems to be the biggest issue for them. You know, one day you see them, they're red hot, and the next day you're wondering, like, what's going wrong? They're shedding the team they were the week before. So I do think there is pressure this year on Galway. I probably would have them, you know, up there as favourites to probably win Leinster. They were very, very close last year, bar that, you know, late Killian Buckley goal. But will they go on to win on Ireland this year? I'm not so sure.
Yeah, Rory, get you in there as well in terms of Galway Kilkenny. 2 home games to kick off, really. I suppose even from a Kilkenny perspective here, I mean, got to the National Hurling League final, you know, strong last quarter. Didn't quite get over the line, but I suppose from a Derek Ling perspective here, not a lot to build on. And a game against Antrim, really, to kind of start the confidence in the right fashion.
Yeah, I think for both Kilkenny and Galway, it would be a case of get the job done, no injuries, no red cards. That's what the, like that will be said, you know. Kilkenny, I think Kilkenny are in good fettle, like going in. We just mentioned like they were puck of the ball away from winning the National League. They have got a couple of players in now. The thing we mentioned this last week, the biggest issue for them is they still haven't found a new forward as such, like the forward line. And they did, like, we're talking about guys, Billy Ryan and so on, who've been inconsistent over the years. They continue to be inconsistent throughout the league. Just like Billy Drennan, who was kind of, you know, a great hope. Now, I know he came off a bad injury last year, but hasn't really nailed down that jersey and the chances he's got. Had a poor league final. And yeah, I think just maybe Kilkenny needed, we're hoping to find, you know, another, because as we know over the years, Kilkenny have pulled forwards out of nowhere, and that hasn't really happened for them yet. But still, like, yeah, Kilkenny are going to be a league final. I think they're in good shape, and like they're going to be there, thereabouts at the business end of it, as they are every year. Galway, like, question marks again. And it isn't even their consistency game to game. Within games, they have these lapses and moments. Like, remember the Dublin game last year where they were diabolical in the first half and then had a heroic second half against Limerick. Unbelievable first 20 minutes and then disappeared for the rest of it. Now, I know Limerick upped their game as well. It's not as easy as that. And Shefflin was criticised for changing the shape of the team at the time, and there was a few factors involved. But still, it wasn't just that game either. The Leinster final with Kilkenny, it was complete Jekyll and Hyde. It was, you know, we'll score 1-6, 1-7, and then we won't score for 15 minutes, and then we'll come back and score another 1-4, 1-5. Made for an intriguing game. And they, I think, in a way, the way that game finished did affect them last year. Like, they, it was to lose a game, like, and Clare lost the Munster final by a point earlier that day. And, but to lose it in that way is one thing, but to lose it by basically the shambles it was at the end of the game, where they failed to clear the ball 4 or 5 times, gave away a goal, I think that really affected them. And I know they even against Tipperary, I didn't think, like, they didn't set the world alight either. Conor Whelan, a few goal chances or whatever. It wasn't a huge performance. I think on the day, both teams weren't great. And against Limerick, like, second half performance, it wasn't a performance. So you don't know where they are. As we were, plenty of talent there. Often the problem for Galway has been putting it all together. Johnny Glynn has been called back into the squad, back from New York, based on club performances there with Ardrahan. I think they were eager to get him in as well. And you can see why. Look, he is a handful for any defender. He's extremely good in the air. But he's been out of the inter-county scene now for 4 or 5 years, and probably a small bit of a Hail Mary in a way, but if it works for them, well and good. And it's definitely worth trying. But yeah, it was kind of an unusual to see during the week, like, that he was back in there. You know, I kind of thought he was based over in New York for good and just coming back for the club games in August as such. But yeah, look, kind of shows where they are, really, that after, you know, 2 years with them, Shefflin is calling in Johnny Glynn, you know. And yeah, so again, you just don't know what you get from them, but they're definitely going to be top three, though.
Yeah, Niall, get you back in there. I suppose your thoughts in terms of Galway and Kilkenny heading into the championship. I know you've had great tussles with them in the past as well.
Yeah, big time. Look, let's be honest, and this is no disrespect to Leinster Championship, I won't really tune into either team until, you know, they get further down the line. And it's not for the fact that, you know, they, like, as a, you know, as you said, their home games of the weekend, probably win them in a canter. They won't learn anything. You know, it is a bit of a blessing that they don't have to peak. And this is going to the Eamon O'Shea factor. You won't really see the Eamon O'Shea factor maybe till the Leinster final in Croke Park, where there's a bit of space. Because I know that he will be different to the way that Galway will play. You know, like, and you mentioned names, Conor Cooney and these lads, you know, even Johnny Green coming back in. It'll be interesting to see how he has him moving, because I think if Conor Whelan is off, Galway has seen the struggle. So he's obviously going to be brought in to bring another two or three options consistently with Conor Whelan. You know, you talk to Jason Finn, it would say the likes of Cottle Mannion on his day as good as anybody. So they do have potentially the players. You know, defensively, obviously, Dottie Burke and these lads, Pádraig Mannion. I think Jack Reedy settled in fairly well there as the kind of man marker. So the biggest thing for Galway will be, and you mentioned it there, is not to have the lulls. And I think that's the danger of Leinster. You can play a couple of games where it's okay to be 50% of your best. But when you play the likes of Limerick or Clare and All-Ireland final, semi-final, quarter-final, you really need to be on it for 70-plus minutes to win it. So it'll be interesting to see. As I said, I'm not too pushed on Galway and Kilkenny for a few weeks, but like, I do think Kilkenny have found a few. The guys from Lochingales, I think, the can't remember his name, the midfielder, Jordan Malai, is it?
Yeah,
he looks like a bit of a fine. So, and even the Murphy, Shane Murphy, brother of the Vaughan, and, you know, I think he looked good as well. So, yeah. I guess you can't really judge either team until further down the line, to be honest with you, lads. And I do think they'll come out of Leinster in the canter, really.
No, you touched upon Emil O'Shea and what makes him stand out as such a renowned hurling coach. I know from a Tipperary perspective, he was pivotal to your All-Ireland wins, but I suppose what stands out for him?
No cones. I know. On a serious note, I guess it's similar to Kinnerk. Like, you know, when Kinnerk gets out the board and you can see him, the players know automatically what he's saying. And I think with Eamon, that was the thing he brought to Tip. You know, he'd talk about diagonal ball or where to put the ball, or even used to talk about who you're hitting the ball to. You know, if Bonner Maher was left-handed, like, you watch Glenn and Burns, like, telepathic. O'Shea was big on that you know your client, how you're giving them the ball, different things like that. So I do think with Galway, I think just at times, you know, they maybe do need to mix it up. So it'll be interesting to see, do they get that mix from him. I do think they will, and especially if you're a forward kind of maybe so, he does give you great confidence in terms of showing you what you can do and telling you what you can do. So I went to watch Kinnerk there last year and Kylie. It's just interesting, you know, the way that you'd watch them, they look at players very in-depthly. I think Eamon will maybe bring that to Henry's arsenal as well for Galway, because, as I said, and you mentioned it, lads, you know, for 20 minutes last year against Limerick, we're like, Galway can do this. And then for a finish to kind of, you know, went out with very little wind. So it's interesting to see. I didn't think, you know, you'd ever see a Tip and Kilkenny man over Galway, but that's what's happening at the moment. So it'd be interesting to see, do they get the right tune out of them.
That's it. No, great, Niall, thank you. Kieran and Rory, just before we finish, Carlo and Antrim, I suppose, thrust into the Leinster Hurling Championship. Carlo promoted from Joe McDonagh. What's the aim for particularly Carlo and Antrim? I mean, Antrim had a wretched league. They've recalled several players back, including Keelan Malloy. Carlo had a good start in 2A, but then faltered away. So, I mean, Rory, from your perspective here, what's the objective for these two teams? I mean, probably, is it to basically pick up an upset win here, or what's the mantra here?
Yeah, West Beach won last year like that. Went down to Wexford Park, got a draw. Got a victory at Wexford Park. Previous year, drew Wexford. So there are, you can catch these teams, like, you can have your day. Especially, like, we know Antrim up in Corrigan Park have shoved it up, particularly in the league, the teams. And they've had a few good tussles with Dublin. Like, I think Antrim will be targeting Dublin maybe as a team that they can upset. But beyond that, like, I think it's their game against each other, really, to try and stay up. And, like, it's something maybe Leinster might have to look at. Is there a need for six teams? Like, because what happens is you end up with two teams that maybe are a bit off it, as opposed to one team that can maybe cause a shock, and that shock might keep them up. As we saw, like, last year, one win for Westmeath still wasn't good enough, because of the whole, you know, there was six teams, and if it was a five-team thing, they would have had Wexford in the head-to-head. Look, it's something I think that makes the championship less interesting, having that six team there. And until, like, those teams do up their level and get to the level of the Galways, Kilkennys, and even Wexford, Dublin, for instance, on a consistent basis. Like, so, yeah, I think that their hope would be, especially at home, that they're, you know, hard to beat at home, put up a performance, because Carlo played very well to get up to here. Like, they shocked Offaly in that final and were good for that win. And you just don't want them to, you know, go into a championship here and ship a few really heavy defeats. Like, even the, what was very worrying was that league final against Laois. Like, you would fear for them here. And I think Antrim will be a bit stronger based on the personnel that came back. But there obviously must be a bit of upheaval up there as well, in that these are low league. Some of them had said from the start that they weren't committing for the year, and then kind of they're going to be put in and parachuted ahead of other lads. So that might cause discontent. But if there is harmony up there, like, as we know, that they can be tough at home. And I see them being a bit more competitive than Carlo, to be honest.
Yeah, Kieran, get you in there. I suppose objectives for these two teams.
Yeah, I think Roy's right. It'll all boil down to two teams playing the last round of the round, week six. Again, that's just essentially a cup final, I think, between the two. Antrim, the last two times they've played Dublin, Dublin have just got a win right at the death. So we saw it earlier in the league, a fall by the Antrim keeper to give Dublin a goal, to give them the win. So they won't fear going against Dublin in Parnell Park. I think Antrim have been probably edging around a similar level for the last year or two. I don't think they've pushed on anything, and they haven't probably regressed either, but I think they need to make a couple of more steps to try and get a little bit more competitive. Like, they've been putting in very good performances, especially last year in the round robin. good performance isn't good enough. Like, you need results. I think it'll be a similar role this year. Like, they have some very good players. Connell Cunning, you know, and he's there, very good, you know, very good forward. You know, the Elliots, Owen Campbell, you know, Malloy, Keelan Malloy as well, and Niall O'Connor wing back. Like, there's some, they have some very good players, but I just think they're probably lacking a little bit to be, you know, a household Leinster team, and to, that's what they are, at risk every year of relegation. Just, you know, I think they need to take a couple of more steps. I do think they're definitely a good bit ahead of what Carlo are. Carlo have been impressive. They've had some good performances in the league, but I think they're a little bit one-dimensional. The, you know, the half-hour line seems to be their strongest line, and it's their target line in every puck-out. You know, Marty Kavanagh, Chris Nolan, very good players, but I think teams will know how to play against them, and I think they'll become a little bit easier to line up against them. I think they know what way Carlo are going to go. It'll be rude one ball to the half-hour line. So for me, I think Carlo would probably struggle. Like, I suppose if you look at last year, they timed their run to perfection for the Joe McDonagh, but while a couple of good performances this year, there will be disappointments as well in their league. So I think for me, Antrim will probably win that last game, but it's going to be a long campaign, I think, especially for Carlo.
Yeah, absolutely. No, great comments, guys. Guys, might leave it there. It's been a lengthy one tonight, but I mean, two outstanding provincial championships. We'll have a bit of more of a review of Joe McDonagh next week in our podcast episode. Some intriguing games there, particularly in O'Moore Park and Port Leash with Leash and Offaly. So we'll have maybe a comprehensive rundown there. But look, thanks to Kieran Rory as always for coming on this week. And also a big shout out to Niall O'Mara here for his contributions tonight. Niall, thanks very much for coming on, and all the best anyway for the upcoming season with Kilwan McDonagh's.
Appreciate it, lads. Thanks a million.
Great stuff. Guys, enjoy the games and have a great weekend.
Cheers, Mark.
Cheers, Mark.
Thank you for listening to this podcast episode. If you liked what you heard in this podcast, why not subscribe to the Hawkeye Sidekick podcast on either Amazon, Spotify, YouTube or Twitter platforms. You can also follow me at Hawkeye Sidekick on Facebook and Twitter for the latest sporting opinions, articles and reports.